This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Opinion, then the civil courts, and the criminal courts that we often talk about here on the show. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, we're going to start actually in the court for one big murder trial in the South, outside of Charleston, South Carolina. Alex Murtaugh, the huge, huge South Carolina attorney who is, of course, disgraced. And it's underway, just got underway in Walterboro, which is a small town east of Charleston. It goes all the way back to June of 2021 when his wife and son were found shot to death at the family's property, which was known as Moselle, because it was that big, a huge, huge property. He's pled not guilty to two counts of murder, two counts of possession of a weapon during the commission of a violent crime related to his wife and son's death. His son, not to be too gruesome, was said to have been shot so badly that his head was separated from his body. So separate from the murder charges, by the way, he is also facing 99 charges stemming for alleged financial crimes. He is from a prominent legal family in South Carolina. They call that the Low Country area. Three generations of his family over 87 years have served as solicitor for the 14th Circuit. It's like a movie when you, it's like a lifetime movie when you hear about a storied family and then the shock and awe over what happened and how will this play out in a courthouse. And of course that area and that family, they oversaw prosecutions throughout the area. So, you know, his late grandfather had a giant portrait on the wall of one of the courtrooms. In fact, they had to remove it before the trial, so how about that? He's pled not guilty to the charges, by the way. His wife, Maggie, was 52 when she was found fatally shot outside of the couple's younger son's with the couple's younger son at the family estate, like I mentioned, back in 2021. There is another son who was not killed, was not found at all injured, and his name is Buster Murtaugh, and he is the survivor. He was in court for opening statements that just happened on Wednesday, the first time he's appeared at any legal proceeding for his father. He's listed as a witness at trial, and his father's scheme was apparently for Eddie Smith, who's a former client of the father's, to kill Murtaugh, and was supposedly, they're saying, was attempting to do something to protect his child, his family. So there's the story that's weaved into this crazy web of what happened. This former client, conspire to kill Murtaugh? Is that what really happened here? As part of an insurance fraud scheme, and the surviving son could collect in the end a $10 million life insurance payout. That's supposedly why all this was happening. The theory is sacrifice the family so he gets the $10 million life insurance, if you're following along and I'm not confusing you. So the one son stays alive, he gets the insurance, and the others die. But the prosecution laying out its case has been an interesting road for them. And then the defense also the same thing, and with the client with the main character in all of this from the prominent family, like I mentioned, Alex Murtaug, insisting that he is innocent. Again, this is like a very sad, sad Lifetime movie. McDonald's, In-N-Out, and Chipotle are spending a lot of money to block raises for their workers. How does that play out in the court of public opinion? It depends on how you weigh in on minimum wage. So California voters are going to decide next year on a referendum that could overturn a landmark new state law setting worker conditions and minimum wages up to $22 an hour for fast food employees in the nation's largest state. You can throw in some others into the mix for this, too. You also have Starbucks and Chick-fil-A and the KFC owner, Yum. Those brands all donating $1 million to save local restaurants. What is that? It's a coalition opposing the law. Other top fast food companies, business groups, franchise owners, and small restaurants have criticized the legislation and spent millions of dollars opposing it, too. The measure, just for grin so you know, it's called the FAST Act, was signed by the California governor and was set to go into effect actually on January 1st. On Tuesday, the California Secretary of State announced that a petition to stop the law's implementation had enough signatures to qualify for a vote on the 2024 general election ballot. So it is being closely watched. And why is that? Because certainly in California, it would transform the fast food industry. And what would it mean for other parts of, you know, the country? Would it increase that minimum wage standard, and would that spread into, would it spread into to other states, right? So labor law in the United States, if you're curious, is structured around unions, which we know, that organize in some places, organize and bargain at an individual store or plant. That makes it impossible to organize workers at fast food and retail chains with thousands of stores. They couldn't do it. So that would set a standard across an entire industry, right? But opponents have turned to the similar strategy that I mentioned at the beginning of this, used by Uber and Lyft and other what we call gig companies, because they were seeking to overturn a 2020 California law that would have required them to reclassify drivers as employees, not independent contractors, which would provide them with benefits like minimum wage, overtime, and paid sick leave. So they spent $200 million, the Lyft and Uber and DoorDash was in that, and some others, to successfully persuade California voters to pass Prop 22. That was a ballot measure that exempted the companies from reclassifying their workers as employees. Now, some of the people that drive Ubers and Lyfts, etc., they didn't, for other reasons, they didn't necessarily want to become employees either, but there were many that wanted to become employees. And I think this is definitely something to watch, because what happens in California could end up becoming a law in other states as well. And it may be up to the voters to ultimately decide that very, very thing. Hey, it is about the numbers after all. We Can Count coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply. the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each three-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
And there are a lot of numbers to talk about this time around. How about Obamacare? Lots of conversations always about health care. Obamacare signups soared to a record 16.3 million for 2023. So that means people going to the Affordable Care Act, just going to the health care exchanges, that's what it is. And open enrollment in most state marketplaces ran from November 1st to January 15th. So those who lose health insurance coverage, especially in this gig economy, have a qualifying life changer, have low incomes, can obtain these policies throughout the year through special enrollment periods. But healthcare.gov, they're saying it's skyrocketed 50%. And part of that is because of those, again, those subsidies. And it's about how can you get healthcare coverage and can you, the savings in that sense would be real. They would be tangible. And Human Services Secretary Becerra, who was a guest on this show many years ago when he served on the Hill, talks about the benefits actually being real, and so the interest certainly was there. What's interesting is it was strong in several of the 11 states that have yet to expand Medicare to lower income residents, including Florida and Texas. They saw 3.2 million people and 2.4 million people sign up. So sign-ups, again, were briss for that coverage. And like I said, it's subsidies, so depending on what the person makes, how much they would actually, you know, save there. And 16.3 is much more, I think, than was actually expected. Nearly 27% of Louisiana state inmates are held beyond their release. That's some new facts put out by the Department of Justice. So what is that all about? According to the Justice Department, between January and April of 2022 alone, 27% of those released from custody, so that's about 4,100 people, were held past the release dates. So some were being held, 24%, for 90 days extra. So the Assistant Attorney General, Kristen Clark, who heads this area of the DOJ, said, "Our investigation uncovered evidence of systemic violations by the Louisiana Department of Public Safety and Corrections that have resulted in the routine confinement of people far beyond the date when they are legally entitled to be released. And the violations are in large part caused by deficiencies in policies and procedures related to the receipt of sentencing documents, the computation of an incarcerated individual's release dates, and employee training." The Justice Department said it could sue the state if it doesn't correct the issues in a matter of weeks, but they prefer it be resolved through a more cooperative approach. Wow. Can you imagine being somebody who was supposed to be released and you were held for 90 extra days because the paperwork was basically screwed up and that was holding up your release, and that, oops, we didn't have enough employee training? Oh, I bet there's some people that are furious when they've heard this. So there are people that have realized that this was happening, and they're saying that they've been shouting and screaming and crying from every rooftop to get someone to pay attention to it and hold people responsible. Well, now they're going to have to be held responsible, or else they're going to end up in court. So I think the idea of let's take care of this in weeks is something that is going to happen in weeks rather than end up somewhere in court. So I guess the upside of that is anybody who's supposed to be released, it doesn't help anyone in the past or anyone stuck in the middle of this, but it should help some of the people who are approaching that mark anyway. How about this French city asking, you go like this, a French city asked Madonna, yes, the singer who's going on tour, to lend it a painting lost in 1918. So the mayor of Amiens, North France, wants this 19th century painting lost during World War I, they believe it might have been bought by the singer, to help its chances of becoming the European capital of culture. It's called Diana and Endymion, and it depicts Roman goddess Diana looking at Endymion, and it was on display in this museum but was lost after Germany bombed the city in 1918. So here's the money part of this. A French newspaper reported that the painting, or a nearly identical one, went on sale at an auction in New York in 1989. Madonna paid $1.3 million for it. There is no word as to whether Madonna is going to lend the painting to the group or not. And what's key here is this is a city where the French president, Emmanuel Macron, was born, and it is a candidate to be the European capital of culture in 2028, which apparently is a big deal to be named that. So anyway, She's just announced European dates, and she's busy with that for her celebration tour, where she is going to actually perform in Paris, which is less than 2 hours by train from this little town. So I don't know. I have a feeling that she will lend the painting. I bet she's going to lend them the painting to garner them the possibility of of becoming this culture capital anyway, to get the stamp of approval. All right, this is just a sickening story. It's sickening. $150,000 a day. Do you think corporate America is out of control? Let me explain this. And I did talk about this on the show, I want to say maybe last week. The head of Disney's head of PR for just 3 months, from January to April last year, made $150,000 a day. So this was a story that was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. And the sum, bonuses, relocating the family from London to L.A., additional $500,000 for unique circumstances of having to relocate the family again when he decided he's leaving Disney, buying out the rest of the contract. He's going to get an additional $4 million in the current fiscal year that ends October 1st to pay out the rest of his contract, along with the target bonus he would have received for 2022. So in total, he's walking away... He's walking away with $10.3 million for one quarter of a year's work. And he's already gotten another gig, by the way, president of the Global Strategy and Communications Unit of Teneo, a CEO advisory firm, if I'm pronouncing that company right. So, of course, he didn't respond to any requests for comments on his Disney pay package. And, of course, the Mouse House didn't comment beyond the details in the filing because it was so shocking. The Wall Street Journal just looked into the numbers a little bit more, like, wait a second, how long did this guy work for them? How did this happen? Jeff Morrell is his name. And it's just a big shell game. It's ridiculous. He made out like a bandit is what he made out like. That is crazy. $150,000 a day. And then just for a handful of months. It's just that thing. Once you get there and once you get that stamp of approval, it just keeps on ticking. The meter keeps running. And so it's no surprise. Does the Mouse House have that money to pay him? Obviously, they didn't blink. And that's why they're not making any comments. They probably hate that everybody knows how outrageous that is. But they'll move on, and there will be other stories, and everybody will forget about it. And that, my friends, is what they're counting on. Hang with us. A couple of great interviews coming up next.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA News update. A Russian military transport plane that was carrying 74 people, including 65 Ukrainian prisoners of war, crashed today in a border region near Ukraine. There were no survivors. Marijuana sales in Michigan were high last year, over $3 billion, which is higher than the alcohol sales in the state. Western China reeling from aftershocks after a 7.1 magnitude earthquake yesterday in a remote part of the country. Three people were killed, five injured, hundreds of buildings damaged. Former President Donald Trump won New Hampshire's Republican presidential primary yesterday, defeating former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley and moving him closer to a rematch with President Biden this fall. I'm Corey Myers, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Talk to this guy all day long and wait till you hear his story. He's got such a great story and he's made me rethink some of the things that I'm eating, actually. Stan Yaki is in our virtual green room and he's in our author's corner as well. He's written a couple of books and the one we're going to talk about is Some Adventures Outdoors and in the Kitchen, A Lifetime of Adventures and Recipes. Stan, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
So we did have a great off-air conversation, and you did make me think about some of the things that I was eating and some of the things I was doing. But let's explain to people, first of all, why did you write this book?
Well, Kate, I wrote this book after spending about 30 years in corporate land and left there and became an individual consultant. This was in the business aviation world, but it also freed me up a little bit to start thinking about what I'd done over my lifetime, fishing, hunting, outdoors activities, which I was still doing, of course. Living in Savannah, we had lots of opportunities. And I decided, well, let's write down some stories and you know, see if we can tell paint a picture about my lifetime and all the enjoyment that I you know had over the years with friends and family, and then I was learning how to cook very slowly and without you know a whole lot of training or whatnot, watching the cooking channel and the food channel network on occasion, and with my wife laughing in the background that I couldn't handle more than one dish at a time. But we worked through that, and so I said, okay, I've got all these stories that I've written now. I call them adventures, and gee whiz, what do you do with them? What does the world need when it comes to wild fishing game? And it occurred to me from having visited both online and actual bookstores, et cetera, there aren't a whole lot of menu-oriented books to help people when they have the opportunity to cook wild fish and game. And so I took a menu approach. And so each of the adventures in the book, and there are 25 in some adventures outdoors, has a menu that will help the reader or the chef enjoy taste, texture, temperature, and tint or color compatibility. Now, obviously, you can switch various side dishes or salads between menus, but it gives you kind of a roadmap. If somebody were to show up on your front door, be it a relative, a husband, a wife, or just a friend, and present you with a piece of venison or a striped bass that they happen to have caught, that afternoon. What do I do with this? And so that's the approach I took.
I love it. You told me a great story. You have to share this with the listeners about mountain goats and your daughter. Tell the world that story.
Okay. Well, back in 1987, I had the opportunity, based on a lottery draw, for a mountain goat tag in the North Cascades of Washington, to hunt mountain goat. A very good friend of mine and his older brother accompanied me on two different outings up to 6,000 feet in the Cascades, and we brought home a goat. When I arrived home, and keeping in mind this is 1987, we didn't have cell phones. And so as I dropped off my hunting companion, I called my wife at her parents' house and told her that I was on my way home and that I had been successful in harvesting a goat. And so she told my children, my 5-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter at the time, Daddy's bringing home a goat. And so I arrived and I was in the kitchen preparing to, portion out the meat. And my daughter and children walked in, and my little daughter says, Daddy, Daddy, where's the goat? I want to see the goat. And so I took them all out onto the back porch, and I had laid the hide, the complete hide, on the deck. And that was not exactly what everybody had in mind.
I bet that surprised her. I love that story. And you told me she constantly brings that up to you now adult.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
She and some of our neighbor kids to this day, we'll talk about it. Well, gee whiz, I rounded the corner of the house and there was a deer being processed, hanging from a tree limb.
Wow.
So I've had my not very family friendly moment processing my harvest.
Yeah, I love it. You said, like I said, you and I talked about what do you want people to know. What do you want people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think the main things, Kate, are that adventures in the outdoors are very, very important, I believe, to everybody. Whether you're hunting, whether you're fishing, doesn't matter, in the sense that getting out there and enjoying nature, enjoying what there is in terms of beauty, diversity of plants and wildlife. I could sit, and I have done this, I can sit on a stump and watch a herd of elk or a bunch of squirrels or whatever for, you know, for literally an hour, just watching them be who they are. And so my message or my intent with this book is, you know, look at the photos in the book. There are plenty, and see the kinds of things that I've been fortunate to experience over the years, and know that is out there for you as well. You know, depending on what you do with it, or whether you do it, and then, if you do hunt or fish and harvest something, here's a collection of menus that you can apply to what you have in hand.
Yeah, exactly. And then you know how to match them up. And is that a great satisfaction to you to learn how to cook? Because, I mean, you've become pretty good, I would assume, Stan, in reading your book.
Well, I'm decent, so put it that way. People have said, oh, you should open a restaurant, or you should compete on Chopped, or something like that. And the answer is, oh, no, that would be a very bad idea.
So you...
I do okay in my own kitchen, and I thoroughly enjoy cooking. Now that my wife is gone, it's sometimes challenging to make something fun and interesting just for myself, or frequently I'll call a neighbor and say, you know, if you haven't already fixed dinner, come on down, because I dearly love to cook and to share.
Yeah, I can imagine getting that phone call. Your neighbors rush to your house, I'm certain of it. So we have a couple of minutes left. Give me one of your great adventures. What was your favorite adventure? I know that's hard, because you've been everywhere.
Favorite adventure. Oh, golly. That is very hard. I will say it's kind of a predecessor to an adventure in the book called Family Tradition. When I was 2 weeks shy of my 8th birthday in Washington State, my grandfather was visiting from Iowa. I didn't know much about ocean fishing. And so my family took him up to Nia Bay, Washington, which is on the Makah Indian Reservation on the northwest tip of the Olympic Peninsula. And we went king salmon fishing. Long and short of it is, I caught a 29-pound, 15-ounce king salmon, which for an almost 8-year-old kid was pretty special. And pretty unusual. Fast forward, my son was 2 weeks shy of his 9th birthday, and my dad and I decided, well, it's time to take him salmon fishing as well. We had been salmon fishing out on the Puget Sound, but this was the big time, going out to the ocean at Nia Bay. And within 100 yards of where I had hooked my fish many, many years previous, my son hooked a nice king salmon, and we battled it for a while and brought it to the boat, and 29 pounds, 15 ounces. It was absolutely identical in size and weight.
Wow.
So that was pretty wild.
Yeah, that's a great adventure. So you can tell there's lots of stories, lots of good stuff for you. Pick this up, some adventures outdoors and in the kitchen, a lifetime of adventures and recipes. I'm also going to throw this in. He's another book, Some Southern Adventures Outdoors and in the Kitchen, a collection of Southern adventures and recipes. Both are great. Stan, thank you so much for joining us.
Kate, thanks for having me. And I hope everybody gets out there and has some adventures and eat what you harvest.
Ooh, I love that. Thanks, Stan.
Thank you.
feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
So, you know when you say you're going to do something like, I don't know, climb Mount Kilimanjaro, and people look at you like, yeah, right, you're going to do that? I'm going to introduce you to someone that is so cool, who actually follows through and does those things. If she says it, I think she absolutely is going to do it. So Anne Bonny is a change expert and a keynote speaker. And more importantly, I think she does move mountains. And one of the things that she says is change is the only constant. And what is it about us where we don't get off our butts and we don't like to feel uncomfortable, where we know we could train? Maybe we can't climb Kilimanjaro like she did, but we could do other steps and do other things. And she tells you how to do that, and she's done it herself. And so we're going to talk about her trip to Kilimanjaro, because I think it's awesome that she did that, and she's certainly done many other things as well. Just a quick little note on her background. How many times have you moved? She's moved at least 27 times. When she was a kid, 13 different schools, right? There's no being shy if you go to 13 different schools. So, Anne, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Oh, I'm a little uncomfortable and shy about this, Kate, but it's great to be here.
Yeah, I bet you're shy. So first of all, tell us about Kilimanjaro. How'd that come about?
I'm turning 50 next summer, and a friend of mine and I were talking about doing safari, and I was like, how about we go to Kenya and do a safari? And then another friend said, while you're down there, why don't you climb Kilimanjaro? And I passed it by my friend, and she said, yeah, that's always been a bucket list item of mine. And So I was always looking for things that make you uncomfortable. And so I said, yeah, let's do it.
Wow. So you made the commitment, you're going to do it. And then how do you get ready for that?
You walk a lot. I mean, the cool thing about Kilimanjaro, unlike Everest requires technical climbing skills and there's a lot of danger and crevasses and all that stuff. Kilimanjaro is just a really hard hike. So any pedestrian who doesn't have the climbing skills can still very, very realistically do Kilimanjaro. So that was one of the motivating factors. We read a lot. We talked to a lot of people who'd been up there. So we kind of got some of the tips that they wish they'd known. And then we walked a lot.
What was the most challenging aspect of this?
For me, you know, it was interesting because there were three of us that went on this trip and we each had a sort of a different challenge. Mine was going down, interestingly. Not that walking downhill was so hard, but for some reason I had set the peak in my head. And I don't know whether I thought there was some magical fairy that was going to fly me down to the bottom or what, but we got to the top and our guides were like, okay, it's time to go down. And I thought, oh crap. Now I have another 10-mile hike to get to where we sleep tonight. And that ended up being the most mentally challenging for me because I essentially set my goal for the top and that life kind of ended there, but it didn't.
What was it like when you got to the top? What was that feeling like?
First of all, it was surreal because you're a little bit oxygen deprived. You're exhausted because you started that day at 11 o'clock the night before. But you look at that sign that you've been waiting for 8 months to look at and you're like, holy crap, I'm here. Like, I did it. It's, you know, and we were all, of course, crying and our guides were worried about us. Like, why are you crying? We're like, we're so happy that we're here. And then you try to remember all the pictures you were planning to take with all, you know, with your alma mater sign and your this is 50 sign and all this. And you're trying to remember all the things you were going to do when you got there. And then the guides are trying to get you down quickly because, again, you're at 19,341 feet and there's not a whole lot of air up there. So it was surreal. It was fast. It was amazing. And I got the main picture that I wanted.
and to do this whole thing, like you talk about, it's like a hard hike. How long did it take?
So we did the what's called the Coca-Cola route or the now I can't think of the name. But anyway, we did the 5-day route. So it was 3.5 days to the top. So we hiked every day for 3 days and then did the summit day and then a day and a half to get down. But on summit day, we started at 11 o'clock at night and didn't reach the actual summit probably 4 miles away until 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. If it tells you how slow we were actually going and how
wow.
deep it was. Yeah.
Wow. And what's it like as you're moving along on that journey? I mean, what are you seeing as you get higher and higher?
It's 11 o'clock at night. You're not seeing a darn thing. No. From the gate where we started, it was cool because you go through lots of different ecological zones. You know, you start in the rainforest where you're seeing monkeys and lots of trees and thick jungly. And then you move into the moorland where it's more scrubby. Then you move into, I think the Arctic desert is above that. So there's like very little plants. And then you get to the point where you're above the clouds, above 15,000 feet, and there's just rocks, nothing. It's like the moon. And so it was neat to go through all those phases and kind of be able to mark your progress along the way. But on summit day between 11 p.m. and sunrise, really all you could see was the lines of headlights of the other hikers in front of you. And I finally got to the point where I was like, and don't look at them because they were really far away and really steep. And to think about getting to where they were was kind of overwhelming. So I saw a lot of my feet and the dirt under my ground, under my feet.
Wow, the headlights. I mean, it's kind of, there's an analogy, I think, buried in that somewhere, because you talk about that, about discomfort. So to
to, and you said to me off the air that you hunt discomfort. So that you have a thing that I think you must do, a mechanism where, hey, that's what you do. You knew that I don't want to look there because, oh my gosh, that's going to freak me out, right? And so I think for people listening, there's a good lesson in that.
Well, and that's 100% the case. You know, one of the other people that I was hiking with, at about 2 a.m, she had her hard time. And because she was looking at those headlights and she was saying, I can't go there like that. I can't do that. My body can't do that. And, I asked her, I said, can you take 10 more steps? Look down. Can you take 10 more steps? And she ended up just taking 10 steps and then taking 10 more steps and taking 10 more steps. And that's such a good thing to think about when you're in the middle of something really uncomfortable, when you're in the middle of a huge goal that feels unsurmountable. Don't look at the finish line. Don't look at where you're going because it'll get in your head. Just look down and take the next 10 steps or take the next one step. I used that when I was in the middle of the pandemic. I was like, I'm thinking too big. Shrink the bubble. Just get through the next day. And that's a great way to move through discomfort a little bit easier.
Ooh, I like that. Shrink the bubble. We're speaking with Anne Bonney. She's a change expert and a keynote speaker. And she climbed Kilimanjaro. Oh, my gosh. So you get to the bottom. You're done. You're through, so to speak. What's that celebration like?
Beer. because we didn't shower for 5 days. We were eating dehydrated hiking meals all the way up and snack bars and everything. So we had a feast of delicious fresh food and the beers, and we laughed and we looked at our pictures and we talked about the lessons. And it was then that it really hit, like, whoa, we just did that. Like, we have now been to the top of Kilimanjaro. It was hard. And we did it. And that will never go away. And that is worth all the hours of training and all the worry and the money and the, you know, discomfort all at the time, to be able to say, holy crap, I did that.
So what will you and these friends do for an encore?
That's like asking somebody who just had a baby when they're going to have the next baby. What's my next? I bought a unicycle the other day. I think that's my encore, is at 49 years old learning how to ride a unicycle. I think that's my next. But, you know, my next discomfort hunting encore, I think, is a 10-day silent meditation retreat.
Ooh.
Right? Shifting the gears and looking at, okay, what have I not done? I've done a lot of physical challenges. Now I'm like, can I shut up and sit down for 10 days? I don't know.
That is tough, especially for a speaker.
I intentionally created a job where I get to paid to speak, and now I'm going to go not talk for 10 days. You can see how uncomfortable that'll be.
I love that challenge. Hunting discomfort, it's awesome. You're awesome. So if people want to know more about you, Anne Bonney, where can they go?
YourChangeSpeaker.com or AnnBonney.com if you want to just make it easy.
There you go. Ann, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate. Great to chat. Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate.
Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.